Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, hope you're well, inshallah.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Things are a little tentative, a little testy here in Pakistan. But alhamdulillah, here in Karachi, we're pretty much okay.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, we heard, in fact, over 4,000 people arrested and a whole load of other killings yesterday. I think it was 6 people killed.
And 2 police officers and 4 rangers.
Okay. And so there's must be, because there's a great amount of people still in support of Imran Khan and they want him out of jail. Is that the whole thing?
Yeah, they're doing rigid taqlid into Imran Khan. This is why we have problems.
We have
the schools are closed. They imposed Article 245 of the Constitution, which means that the army was called in and the army was given orders to shoot on sight, shoot any rioters on sight, which me as a black man from America, growing up in the 60s, that type of thing was going on. And this should not be happening in a Muslim country. All right. The army is Muslim. The citizens are Muslim. And you have no right to take somebody's life because he's throwing a rock through a window. So you got orders now to shoot on sight. That I don't see it anywhere in the Sharia. It may be in the Pakistan Constitution, but it's definitely not in the Sharia. If somebody's throwing a rock through a window, a government window, then it's jais for you to shoot him, shoot to kill. That's crazy.
And this is not just with tear gas or something. This is with live...
No, live bullets. Yeah, live ammunition.
That's why people are dying.
Okay. They called in 1,000 more police officers from different places, and they called in the army. Okay, so it's a civil war. Okay, over what? Over because you're the leader of your political party, which is haram to have a political party. The leader of the political party is in jail and you want him out? Well, let him have his trial first. Okay, if he gets convicted and you say that the trial was not fair, okay, so you can appeal it, huh? That's the way it is in a, quote, democracy.
Yesterday we saw that Trump, he'll be forgiven for all his crimes as well. So I'm just trying to figure out how does this whole thing work. He gets into that position and he's forgiven for whatever accusations or allegations upon him. And he goes scot-free with any or... And of course... But the fact that he became president with all those crimes and all of those other illegal or shall I say illicit actions, activity which he perpetrated, he gets scot-free. So I'm just trying to tie the two in here.
That's the way it works in a democracy, or as they say in a free country, that the leaders have immunity. Okay, even people not as high as the president have some sort of immunity. Most countries, their ambassadors and consul generals and others, they have like diplomatic immunity. You don't check their bags at the airport. All right, they're able to take their luggage straight through without being x-rayed or anything like that. The United Nations is in New York City. The actual land that it is on is not considered America. It's considered international land. But the sidewalk and the street, they have parking meters, okay? And to park and you don't put the money in the parking meter, okay, you get a ticket. And the people in New York, the ticket people, meter maids, they call them meter maids, when they give them the ticket, it goes to the embassy, and the embassy never pays it, all right? And they have hundreds of dollars worth of tickets because they have a certain immunity. They can't be arrested. If me or you parked at that place, and we didn't pay our tickets, they would throw us in jail. So that's how it is. A certain, you know, VIP group gets immunity. All right. So when you, the higher up you get, the more immunity you get. So as long as he's president, if he does something now, they can't arrest him until he gets out of office. Then they can arrest him. Okay, but once he's the president, he has to be free from any type of fear that he's going to be going to trial or anything. That's the way the Constitution was written. Okay, that's what, you know, the sense is behind it. He shouldn't be having things in the back of his head that, the guy in Israel. That president, he's worrying about, as soon as this war is over, all right, they're going to grab him. And they're throwing him in jail for all the corruption he's doing. So he's an attendant, whatever his name is. He's trying to keep the thing going on and on so he doesn't get arrested. That's how it works.
Mufti Saab, as you're speaking now, I recall there was Queen Elizabeth. She died, of course, everyone knows about this. And sadly so, we will say it over and over again. Many ulama of the UK also then sent out their condolences for a person who died, much like Mandela when he died. Some ulama were standing up from the mimbar and saying what a great man we lost and all of this. How can it be great?
Astaghfirullah.
Lost in, he's totally in a loss, and you say great man. But I was just thinking back now, when she died, there were certain things we were searching for, that she enjoyed certain perks, and that's for the royal family in general. And as you've said now, you don't have to, they don't have to pay for, they can park in places, illegal places. And I'm just seeing now the royal family, just to confirm this information so we don't speak from our back pockets, the royal family does not have to obey legal speed limits, but Queen Elizabeth didn't have to use a passport to travel, and this is also likely to be true for King Charles.
Yes, it is.
Her Majesty.
He doesn't need a passport. Everybody knows he's a Qabis. He doesn't have to be identified.
Queen Elizabeth was never required to have a driver's license, so she could drive in whatever state she is, kill whoever by mistake, and it's fine, even though she didn't have a license. The royals don't have to use their legal last names. They said, while regular grandparents have to go through the courts if they want custody of the grandchildren, the king has automatic legal custody of all his descendants and his minor grandchildren. Members of the royal family are exempt from paying taxes in certain circumstances. The royals are also able to skip out on jury duty.
A person is supposed to get a trial based on a jury of his peers or his equals. But if you're the king, there's nobody equal to you, huh? So I guess you cannot serve jury duty. That makes sense.
She had, Queen Elizabeth celebrated two birthdays each year. One was her actual birthday on the 21st of April, and her official public birthday. So she had another public birthday, and that was sometime in June. So they also exempt from Freedom of Information Act. So all of this, but I read some much more disturbing ones, that if she perpetrates a murder or something also, that she will be forgiven or she wouldn't be under criminal investigation or anything. So
isn't that the James Bond movies? They always talked about James Bond had a license to kill. And giving you the impression that, you know, since he worked for the spy agency of England, if he had to kill somebody, they're not going to bring him up on charges. Yes. So very few people have it, but supposedly he had it.
Yes, so. I just found it now. It's on the same website which I'm seeing. It says they cannot be arrested or be the subject of civil and criminal proceedings. Meaning, if King Charles, who's currently representing the king of the royal family and of Britain, he is effectively exempt from the law. So he can go and do as he pleases. And so where's the justice? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even Fatima, the daughter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the daughter of Muhammad, has to steal, her hand will also have to be cut off. That is the justice of Islam, which they want to wipe out. And as you've said so sadly, which we always perceive as Islamic countries, over 90% Muslims. But what Islam is there when you're doing such things? You're opening fire against just general people who are out there. There's no.
You have no right. You have no right to shoot an unarmed person. Okay, and I grew up in the 60s, and with all the racial riots we were having in New York and Detroit and all over America, where all the time black men without weapons were being shot by white police officers, and oftentimes shot in the back. When the police code that says do not shoot a criminal or someone who you think may be a criminal in the back, because if he's running away from you, he's not a threat to your life. So police are not supposed to shoot somebody in the back, but that happened many times, and they would just testify that he made a very fast reach in his pocket, and so I had to defend myself. And when you come to look, the person is 14 years old, 13 years old, and didn't even have a weapon. You see, so I grew up with this, okay? And to, now that I'm Muslim, and I see this type of law being implemented here in Pakistan, it's very disturbing for me. All right? When they surrounded the house of Usman radiallahu anhu before they made him shaheed, you know, he asked them, who would I supposed to kill that you're accusing me? Because the Quran says that only three types of people can be killed. So what person did I kill, all right, that didn't deserve to be killed? Well, why are you accusing me of this? So again, people with rocks, sticks, being shot by army personnel. This is disturbing. Very disturbing.
And I'm just thinking now, Mufti Saab, since you've said you grew up in the 60s like this, and you've witnessed it, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Laysa al-khabru kal-mu'ayana, that there's no news like eyewitness news. And when you've witnessed it, you still got those feelings of how could this actually happen? Where was the justice system there? And that's exactly what they want to wipe out. They want to wipe out this generation of feelings, this generations which actually have witnessed the reality, so that they can promote. And that's perhaps how America has forgotten so much. People have just, it's gone off their memory, off their records even, of all these crimes that you've just mentioned now. Why is there no speech about that? Now and then you'll hear they ask for forgiveness, whatever it is, but nothing major.
I don't know. Growing up, I looked at the movies. They had the movie about Biko, Stephen Biko, I think that was his name, South African, who was killed in jail.
I'm not sure. Probably before.
Okay.
Probably before.
Yeah, this is before while Mandela was still in jail. He was a young man, I think he was around 30 or so, and in jail, they found him in jail. I think they found like 20 or 30 stab wounds in his back, okay? And they said he committed suicide, okay? The jail guard said he committed suicide. He fell on a knife like 20 times on his back. All right, dude. So this is the type of thing that's, I went through. And my mother would tell me, when I was a young teenager, that be in the house, because she was a single mother, all right? And she said, be in the house when the lights go down, when the street lights go off. I don't want you outside after that. Because she was afraid I may not come home one night. And it wouldn't be because of the gangs or the or my friends, all right? It would be because of the police officers, all right? The police officers. The whole movement about Black Lives Matter, why was that started? Because so many black men, unarmed black men, were killed by white police officers. Okay? So this goes through my mind. So a Pakistani who's a Muslim and he's in the army, he has a rifle and he's going to shoot another Muslim because that Muslim is throwing a rock through a window and wants his leader to get out of jail. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's sad. Exactly. And he's not worth it. If Imran Khan was worth it, then we can go into another argument, okay? Another discussion. But, I mean, he has a legal child, all right, that he never admits. The court in America has certified that he's the father of a girl that from a woman he did not marry, okay? And that girl is still alive, living in England with his ex-wife. Okay, I mean, and he's done so many things. He still doesn't keep a beard, all right? He still wears his pants below his ankle, okay? And on and on and on. And so this type of person, you're going to put your life on the line because you want him out of jail? Come on, now.
So it's both ways. Move this up, we will connect.
It's crazy both ways.
Exactly, yeah. But it just sums up what's happening in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, put us onto the straight path, and forgive us for our shortcomings. Mufti Saab, we will connect with you tomorrow, inshallah. Make dua for us. And
inshallah.
Don't be out too late. You may get shot by these people.
My 95-year-old mother, she doesn't worry about me now.
There was this... there's one saying when I was young, we used to write it and just mess around with it and stick it. As a child, we should stick this on the walls. So, you know, you get these, it says, transgressors will be dealt with or transgressors will be shot.
Right.
So the one
saying, trespassers.
Trespassers. Oh, yeah, trespassers. So the one day we saw this one, it said, trespassers will be shot. And if you survive, we will shoot you again.
So. Again, yes. Yeah, I've seen that.
So,
but only the owner of a white house, you know, the person who's white could do that. A black person could not put that on his door.
Definitely. And this is not. I just say to the listeners, we'll end now. But I say to the listeners, we reported how many times that in America. Recently, not so long ago, it was a black young boy just rang the bell, and this person came out and he started shooting at him and killed him eventually. So, and that was outright racist attack. There's nothing else to explain. So, Allah guide us.
But the person's a lone wolf and he had mental problems, so that's forgiven.
That's always the case. See?
Because he was white, yeah.
Yeah. And he's not a terrorist. Don't say that. Don't ever say
that. No, of course not. And he's not a towel head camel jockey. He's not like that. No. No.
Anyway.
He's making America great again.
Inshallah, all the corruption will be exposed and justice, inshallah, will prevail. Mufti Saab, appreciate your time.
If not in this world, in the next world, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Take care. Yes, okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.